Andrew, welcome to Talk Satellite.
Thanks very much, Kevin. Nice to see you back here at our factory and facilities next to BT Madley in Herefordshire in England. And it's been nearly a year since you were last here.
ETL Systems began 2019 with the acquisition of Atlanta Microwave. How will this addition enhance your offering, and where are you at with the integration of the companies?
Atlantic Microwave, the acquisition came about because we were on the lookout for a company which was very similar in ideology and capability to ETL. However, it's much smaller, so they were doing about £2 million worth of business, and they had about sort of 15 staff. So very similar to ETL were about 15 years ago. So it was a very familiar product offering, and what Atlantic did was bring a line of products which complemented what ETL did. They are very much more in the test market, certainly on the satellite simulation side. They have a number of products which enable people with satellite trucks and satellite dishes to test their equipment before they go live. So that was very familiar to us, and it was a nice product offering that we could also offer to the ETL customer base. The other side, which was slightly different, was that they were resellers of a number of very high quality components into slightly different sectors, and those sectors range from university to cryogenic quantum computing. And so it was quite important to see Atlantic as spreading the risk, as it were. So we were looking at a marketplace which was new to ETL, but very familiar to Atlantic. So that was another attractive proposition. The important thing about Atlantic is, like ETL, it had an R&D facility, so it was able to do its own manufacturing and testing in-house. And so the mindset and the way the engineers and commercial teams worked was also very familiar. Here we are 8 months later. We've got brought Atlantic under our wings, and we're able to say that obviously some of the synergies are very cost-effective, such as procurement, HR and finance, but they very much work as a separate entity selling their products to a separate market. So it's very much business as usual, and obviously we're benefiting from a new marketplace, and they're also benefiting from our ability to help them with those operational costs.
ETL Systems has an array of rack systems and RF components. Where are you currently seeing the most demand, and how do you see your innovation and technology advancement addressing future opportunities?
ETL Systems, as many people know from seeing us at trade shows around the world and seeing our equipment in racks at teleports around the world, we know us very much as a manufacturer of RF distribution equipment, principally for teleports. I'm pleased to say that some of our products, very established products like our Enigma matrices, we've sold over 1,000 of these to teleports around the world, mainly for switching downlink L-band traffic. What we're seeing in the market as we move forward is a change away from our core products. While they're very important, certainly the switch matrices have had a very good year last year, we're also seeing signal quality and redundancy play a major part in teleport design. And certainly some of the proposals I've seen over the last 7 or 8 months have required an increased amount of amplifier redundancy, so signal quality is kept at its optimum as it arrives into a teleport, and also fiber, RF over fiber. So we've enhanced our range of RF over fiber, and certainly in the last 3-4 years since we launched our Stingray RF over fiber, the turnover of that product line has gone from virtually zero to over £3 million. So we're really very pleased with that line, but it's also the market driving it. So the number of RF over fiber modules we've designed has grown exponentially, and also we've moved into CWDM and DWDM for medium 50 kilometer and long distance, up to 500-600 kilometer RF over fiber links. I think the drive has come very much from different types of satellite constellations requiring different redundancy, and the issues about quality as well. And certainly in Asia, where there's a lot of climatic issues, we've seen a number of sort of 100-kilometer teleports which are linked by fiber that we're working on at the moment with some of the leading system integrators in that region. The other area that we've been looking at, which builds on our matrix heritage, is being ready for these new LEO constellations. And we've just been talking before this interview about what LEO means and what is the future. We are still very interested and focused on the ground segment part of this. And having recently been at Communicasia, where I was on a panel talking about this new technology, we are still slightly in a grey area as to exactly what the ground infrastructure is going to be for a big LEO constellation. I know that there have been some test launches, and certainly some of the big companies like SpaceX and OneWeb have developed some amazing satellites, and the stories that are going about what capabilities these new constellations are going to bring to us as human beings on planet Earth are very, very empowering. I still want to see from an ETL point of view what ground segment is going to look like in terms of antenna design, handover, redundancy, as these very fast-moving satellites hurtle above our head, requiring perfect harmony, perfect signal performance as they bring a whole new technology and deliver satellite on the move and Internet of Things and various other benefits. So we have in design a number of new fast switching matrices, one of which will be seen at IBC very soon, called the Hawk Matrix. And I think that's an example of a very small, compact, very fast switching uplink, downlink matrix, which would be perfect for the ground segment of the LEO constellations as we understand them at the moment. So really, I think that's where we are at the moment. Amplifier redundancy, fibre, and these special LEO matrices, which are in the pipeline.
Lots of change happening in the satellites themselves. High-throughput satellites become more prevalent. LEO constellations and the arrival of digital payloads. How do you see those changes in space affecting the business on the ground?
Certainly here at ETL, at our manufacturing facility in the UK, we've got 35 RF engineers and a number of software engineers who are very aware of where the market is going. I mentioned earlier that we've designed a number of new redundant fibre, RF over fibre products, and also special fast switching uplink and downlink RF matrices, which are going to respond to the LEO constellations, as well as HTS as it moves into higher frequencies such as Q and V-band. Q and V-band certainly going to offer new bandwidth possibilities, but also come with difficulties working with those frequencies, certainly in terms of signal quality, and therefore it will require better redundancy. And we do a lot of work with the system integrators to make sure that they think about the what-ifs, signal failure and satellite signal lost. So a lot of our new Stingray fibre range has a number of redundant features, and also our Alto amplifiers have a number of redundant features. And whether we're dealing with commercial or government satellites, these products are very transferable in both those markets.
What trends has driven your business and product lines of late?
One of the trends, which is less obvious, because I can talk to you about RF signal quality, which we've just mentioned just now, about handling higher L-band and at a better quality, is software. I certainly think the requirement to have a solid and dependable software to control the equipment and reporting the equipment is one of the trends that we're seeing at the moment. Good software engineers are like gold dust, and we certainly try and have the best we can here, but certainly software is becoming one of those items which it either works or it doesn't, and we need to be able to deliver new software platforms to be able to monitor, control RF switching matrices or redundancy switching. Those need to be allowed to be built into a satellite operator's monitoring control systems. So software has been one of the challenges, and it continues to be a challenge to keep up with the requirements of the industry.
How about future R&D initiatives?
Obviously, Kevin, I can't sort of talk to you about all the things we're building here, because obviously we're building for some of the leading satellite operating companies and governments around the world, so we're part of programs that they're designing. But we are very aware that from an R&D point of view, we are looking at new product ranges, and we are hoping to show some of these off at the IBC show in a few weeks' time. Going back to what ETL is very well known for, and those of those of the listeners who've been into satellite teleports will see our white equipment around the place. It's been our move into a new generation of L-band matrices. Certainly our Hurricane and Harrier ranges have been very well received because they are now able to handle fibre inputs directly into the back of the matrix and able to switch and alter the signal quality as it comes into the matrix. So from a monitoring control point of view, that has been one of the big R&D drivers for our engineers here at ETL in Hereford. Certainly the challenge we have at ETL is probably very similar to many of the other manufacturers in the satellite industry around the world, and that's getting good engineering staff here. And we have a number of initiatives at the moment with local and national universities to make sure that we are recruiting the best for the future. We have seen in the past that there has been a fall of interest in new starters in RF engineering. And it is important for us to put RF engineering back into the curriculum in various universities. And we currently sponsor several students through university and also are very involved in a regional university to bring R&D and RF engineering into their curriculum. And certainly the NMITE University here in Hereford, which is linked to Warwick University, is one of those programs. So if we invest in new students and we are able to help develop, design and support the curriculum, it's companies like ETL who are going to benefit from a new generation of RF engineers, which is the future. Because as we can see from what we've talked about today, satellite isn't going away. It may have been going through a change, but it's certainly with the drive of LEO, HTS and global MEO monitoring, Earth observation, I think that the satellite industry is still very healthy and it's still a good place for students to look at for a career.
Andrew, thank you.
No problems. Thank you very much for coming in. We enjoy supporting Talk Satellite and all the information that you pass to the industry.